Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How hungry are you? How hungry am I for more of the things of the Spirit? The truth is that in order for us to walk in the anointing that Jesus had, because that's the anointing that I believe is available to us. He said that greater works we will do. Greater doesn't mean less. Greater doesn't mean far less. Greater means greater. There's no mistake in the Greek with the word greater. It means greater, more, greater, better, more, even more works we will see. But yet we see a generation of believers that doesn't walk in that power that he had, the power that he walked in. And I really believe that we're supposed to walk in that power. Can you say amen? Now, I want to say this to you, that in the Bible, we see one character who receives a double portion anointing. The prophet Elisha receives a double portion anointing from the prophet Elijah. And I believe scripturally, and we can go into this for hours, but I don't have the time to do that this evening. I just want to say this to you, that I believe that we are a double portion people. In other words, we will walk in that same anointing that has the ability to defeat the enemies that were not defeated in our predecessors, in our forefathers. Is that okay? So those that have gone before us in the church that have not been able to overcome certain things, I believe we will carry the anointing to overcome those things. We will carry the anointing to defeat Jezebel. We will carry the anointing to expose the darkness. Is that okay? To walk in power like the church has never walked in before. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say walk in the power that the church walked in the early days. I'm saying ever. Ever, ever. I believe this church, I believe the church of this generation will walk in the greatest measure, because the Bible speaks about us coming to the fullness of Christ. So in order for us to come to the fullness of who Christ was and who the body of Christ is supposed to be, I think that's going to be pretty powerful. Because to come to the fullness means we come to the fullness. We're operating in authority and power. We're operating with that double portion anointing that rested on Jesus. And we see the prophet Elisha who gets this double portion anointing from Elijah. But what I want to share with you this evening is that there is a process to that anointing. There is a process to the double portion anointing. When someone carries this kind of anointing, you can see it on their life. There's a difference in their life. When they come into a room and they begin to speak, they captivate the whole audience. They just carry something different about them. And you must understand something, that nobody is more special than anybody else. It's just that some people have caught what has already been freely given to them. As I said this morning, the problem is not inside, because inside he's given you everything you need. The problem is on top. The problem is your mind. That's why Paul says, renew the mind. Renew the mind. Change your mind. Don't be double-minded. Is that okay? So he wants us to walk in the Spirit. But there is a process to getting this double portion anointing. There is a process that we have to walk through. I want to show you real quick this evening, and I'm going to do this quickly, how Elijah and Elisha went through a process to get to the point where he receives this double portion anointing. This anointing that is far stronger than the anointing that Elijah carried. And Elijah carried a very strong anointing. Elijah did some really awesome stuff. I mean, he calls fire down from heaven, and it's powerful. It's amazing, because we've seen in the church of this last few years, many years, tens of years, we've seen the Lord really send the fire and ignite the church again. But Elijah is the one who called down fire from heaven. But Elisha is the one who defeats Jezebel. Elisha is the one who defeats the enemy who defeated and destroyed many of the prophets. I said to somebody the other day, you know, a lot of people talk about Jezebel. And a lot of people have a perception of how Jezebel operated. Let me tell you what Jezebel wanted to do. Jezebel wanted to silence God's voice. That was Jezebel's primary function, was to stop God from speaking. So what did she do? She killed all the prophets because they were the exclusive voice of God on the earth at that time. Now we have the Holy Spirit, so it's different. But in the Old Testament days, the prophets were the exclusive voice of the Lord. So she killed all of them except for Elijah. And when Elijah found out after he called fire down from heaven that she was after him, he became terrified and went and hid in the cave. He has his greatest encounter, and that's exactly where I believe the church has been. Even though they've had power, they've had encounters, they've still been intimidated and interrogated by that force that desires to keep God's voice silent. You see, Elisha goes all the way to the place at the end where he receives this double portion, but there's a few things that have to take place. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to get this from a natural point of view. You have to catch this tonight spiritually. All the way from the beginning to the end, because once you get to the end of it, you can't see it naturally. If you see it naturally, you're going to miss it. Is that okay? All right, let's take a look. Let's go into the book of Kings, 2 Kings 2, verse number 2. Let me just set the stage. So Elijah has already cast his mantle on Elisha. And the two of them are going to go because God has given an instruction to Elijah that he must anoint Elisha in his place. But there is a process, there's a procedure that must take place that Elisha must go through before he gets to the Jordan, before he gets to this place where he gets anointed to be the next prophet. 2 Kings 2, verse number 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?" Wait, let's go back, sorry, to 2 Kings verse number 1. Let's start there. That part is coming. Amen. 2 Kings 2:1, "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elisha and Elisha went from Gilgal." From Gilgal. Amen. Why is Gilgal important? Joshua 5 verse number 9 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' Therefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. The Lord will take you to a place first in your walk with God where he will remove your reproach and your sin from your life." That's the first step. The first step of every believer to walking in the power, the supernatural power of God, is to go to the place of Gilgal. The place where God removes your reproach and your sin away from you. Now, it goes beyond just believing that God has taken you out of Egypt into this place where he's removed your sin from you, because that's one thing to understand. The truth is, how do you move to the place where you understand that you can go beyond sin? Where your sin is defeated. Where you no longer are affected anymore by sin. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin, but sin does not rule you anymore. Understanding that you are washed in the blood of Jesus, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that you are a child of the Most High God. You have to have this encounter, this moment with God where you realize that your sins have been taken away, that you are washed, that you are cleansed, that you are whole, and that you stand in the presence of the Almighty God as an ambassador, as a king's kid. Can you say amen? That's the first step to walking in the anointing. Elisha had to first go to Gilgal before he could walk in the double portion. He had to go to the place where the reproach, where the past was removed from him. Don't walk in your past. Don't walk in guilt and shame. If you're someone that's always looking back or always returning to the sins of the past, you will never be able to move beyond this point. You will never be able to move past this point of Gilgal, this point where God has taken it away from you, removed it from you. Can you say amen? So that's the first phase, the first step. You need to understand that you have been justified, that you now freely have access to the presence of God, that you are forgiven, and that now you can actually worship Him. But what you need to understand is that this is the place that so many Christians stay at. They finally get a revelation that God has actually forgiven them, and so many Christians can't even move past that place. But if you have been able to move past that place, there are so many churches, Christians, so many believers that never move beyond there. And God wants to take you from Gilgal to the next place. So let's read it. So 2 Kings 2, verse number 3 says this, or verse number 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "The Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." You see, you must understand that it is your choice. It is your choice. You can stay behind, you'll be okay, but it's your choice to go beyond just accepting the fact that you are forgiven. "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Let's take a look at what took place at Bethel. Genesis 28, verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10. Are you guys okay? "Now Jacob went out from Bethsheba and went towards Haran." Now we're talking about Jacob. "So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, the ladder was set up on the earth. And its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father's, and the God of Isaac, and the land which you lie, I will give you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and you and your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So Jacob is having an encounter with God in Bethel. "Behold," verse number 15, "behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob arose early in the morning and took his stone that he had put at his head, set it as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, for that place had previously been called Luz. Listen, Bethel is the place where you move from knowing who God is, or finding out, just kind of meeting God, understanding that you are forgiven, to the place where you encounter Him. There is a moment in your walk where you go beyond just being forgiven to having a true encounter with the living God. Every single believer has to go beyond just being forgiven, just being sanctified and made holy. Made holy for what? So that you can encounter Him, so that He can tell you who you are, so that He can give you a destiny and a purpose. Listen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how we know it. But Jacob had to encounter God for himself. The promise was for his forefathers. Listen, there are forefathers that have been given promises too. Those promises are also your promises. But in order for you to inherit and take a hold of the promises that God has for you, you must encounter God. That encounter will only come from desperation. You see, when the prophet said to him, stay behind, he said, there's no way I'm staying. I'm not stopping in this place. This is not enough for me. I am a pastor that desires more with all of my heart. There must be more. We just don't see enough. There's more of Jesus that still we have to discover. There's more of the Holy Spirit that we haven't tapped into. There's a power and authority that will not allow a demon spirit to walk through those doors that is available to the living church. That is what's available to you and I. We have to go beyond just knowing to actually encountering Him, to desiring Him, to having more of Him in our lives. And in order to walk in the double portion, you have to go through this stage. You see, you'll never encounter God if you stay in Gilgal. You have to go to Bethel. You have to go to that place where you go beyond. This is the beginning of the supernatural. In the life of every believer, this is the point where you get baptized in the Spirit and you begin to encounter His presence. I have practically a family member who had been coming to church off and on for years, known about us, we prayed for him, everything. He came to one e-course, he got baptized in the Spirit, the power of God came all over him, he's completely changed. Why? Because he encountered God. You also have to encounter Him. You have to encounter His presence. That's the beginning of the double portion. Can you say amen? And the realm of the supernatural. But that's not all. Everybody say there's more. Verse number 4. 2 Kings 2, verse number 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. There will always be those that see and know but remain behind. Are you going to be one of those who see and know, but choose to stay behind? Are you going to be like the sons of the prophets who watch the double portion get passed over? Are you going to miss your hour of visitation like these missed their hour of visitation? Or are you going to go forward? Are you going to also go to Jericho? Jericho is not a very comfortable place. Jericho is the place where the children of Israel had their first battle. When they just entered the promised land, they thought, this is it, I've arrived. And guess what? That was the beginning of war for the children of Israel. Once you've had your encounter with God, God will take you into your promise, but your promise includes facing your enemy. It is the mountains of Jericho. If you go to Jericho, the Mount of Temptation, you look over to the Mount of Temptation. I've been there. You can see where Jesus was tempted. Where he looks over where the Jordan is and where Jericho is. The Jordan is not too far from Jericho. It's in walking distance. It's like just down the road. Jericho is the place where you will be challenged, where you will be tested. Every single believer that will have an encounter with God will have to also go through a season of maturing, of testing, of trying. And this is the time where you have to press in. This is the time where you mustn't give up. So many Christians give up as soon as they come to their Jericho, as soon as they come to their first challenge, as soon as they go through their difficult trial. You see, oftentimes, the greater the calling, the more difficult your Jericho will be. The devil will challenge your identity in this place. Oftentimes, everything seems wrong in Jericho. But what you must remember about Jericho is it's in walking distance of the Jordan. In other words, your breakthrough is imminent. But so many people stop at the Jordan, at Jericho, because they become intimidated and interrogated. In fact, there are thousands who have gotten to this place and don't go further. Many men and women of God that he has called by name will get to Jericho and they won't go further because of the pressure in Jericho. But Elisha went forward. And it's amazing that Elijah says to him when he comes to Jericho, please, man, stay here. But he says, no, I'm going to go with you. 2 Kings 2, verse number 8. Let's read the rest of the story. Are you guys okay? I'm almost done. Now, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. Just hang on 1 second. Okay. Let me just go back to verse number 7. 2 Kings 2, verse number 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. So now they're at the Jordan. And when they're at the Jordan, we see this take place. Verse number 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Everybody say he saw it. And he cried out, my father, my father. And the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Now the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him and said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Once they got to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what you want from me. You see, oftentimes in ministry or in your calling, you'll start to get used by God. And the question's always going to be, what do you want? What do you really desire? What do you really desire? If you see me, if you see beyond the natural realm, if you are one of those that will desire to go into the inner life with the Holy Spirit, to go beyond what's normal, to go beyond what most would be able to do, if you are able to go beyond, that's when you will see the double portion on your life. How hungry are you? How desperate are you? If you really want to walk in that supernatural power, two things. What do you want? The question is, what do you really want? You see, some want authority, some want power, some want to be seen, some want fame, some want money. But the question is, what do you really want? If you see me when I go, if your eyes have been opened, you'll receive. Your eyes only really go open once you're able to look from within. You see, we're always striving, and I know this because I do it. We're striving for more, and that's not bad. That's good. We should do that. But the inner life with the Spirit of God will not come from without. It will come from within. Are you able to tap into His Spirit? Are you able to see what He sees, hear what He hears, and feel as He feels? Once you're able to do this, then you've gone beyond what is normal and entered into the realm of the Spirit. And out of that place, out of intimacy with Him, out of true intimacy with Him, do you know Him? Do you know His love? Do you know His power? Do you know what it's like to speak with Him and actually have a conversation with Him? You see, most don't do it because their inner life is so consumed by their own thoughts and desires. And don't feel guilty, because that's how we all are. But it's when you're able to quiet your mind, when you're able to just hear what he says, and you've gone beyond what is natural and normal, that's when you've moved into the realm of the supernatural. This is the place where God wants us all to live. But how hungry are you for it? How desperate are you to go after it? I've been in services so many times where I can feel the atmosphere is normal, and suddenly there's just a shift, and we've gone beyond what's now normal, and anything can happen in that moment. When you're prophesying, and suddenly while you're prophesying, there's an authority that comes over you that you know that what you're about to say will happen. When it comes to healing, I've prophesied, there's a lady sitting here, I prophesied healing over her body, and instantly she got healed. Because that's when you move out of that natural realm. That anointing is available to you, but some people don't want it. Some people don't desire it. Listen, that will come from intimacy with God. That will come out of your relationship with him. Everything else he's done for you. You just have to go through the process of being matured and developed, seeking after him, pursuing him, and then he'll take you into that. Let me ask you a question, Oceans Unite Christian Center. Is that your desire? Now let me ask you this. I want you to think about it. Why? Why do you desire it? Why do you desire him? Why do you desire his power in your life? Ask yourself honestly that question this evening. You don't have to answer it. I want you just to think about it. Are you thirsty for his presence? For him to be manifest in your life? I have seen so many miracles in my life. I've seen God do the most amazing things. Yet my mind will often take me to a place of unbelief. Why? Because I'm not staying in that place or trusting in who he is. And I think that I have to do something to get myself back to that place. I just have to rest in him. Pursue him. Hunger for him. Thirst for him. And then that anointing that is available to destroy the enemy will naturally be available to me. It comes out of relationship. Are you guys with me? It feels like you're all half asleep. Some people think it's too late. They've messed up too much. Well, welcome to the club. Okay, I think David messed up pretty badly too. But God still used him to fulfill the purpose and plan that he was born for. You also have been placed on the earth right now for such a time as this. I will not watch and miss out on what I know is available to us. When I can walk close with him, intimately with him, and have this amazing relationship with the Lord God Almighty, who has sent his Holy Spirit to me, who has become my best friend. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I know, Lord, that there is so much more for us. But the more is found in our pursuit for you, coming to the knowledge of who you are. And as we seek after you and discover your mercy and your love, for surely, as Paul even said, that there is nothing greater than love. that we should pursue love and only then desire spiritual gifts. But once we begin to understand your love, then everything will flow out of that. Father, I pray that you will put more of your love for you in us. Help us, draw us to you, Lord. Give us a hunger and a zeal. We sang that song. The greatest challenge is to stay hungry for you. Father, I pray that it will not be a challenge for us. It will become our desire. That we will stay hungry for you. We will stay desperate for more of you. We will never be satisfied to stay at where we are, but always desire to go to the next phase, to go to the next place. Your word says it's from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So there is more, Father. I know there's more. Surely your word says that we will come to the fullness of Christ. Father, we have not even come close to the fullness of Christ as the body of Christ. But I pray, Lord, that you will take us there as we go further and seek further for more of you, for more of your presence, for more of you, Holy Spirit. Father, I am hungry for more of you. I'm hungry for more of your presence. I'm hungry to walk in the same level of relationship that Jesus had with the Holy Spirit, where I will hear and know all the time and be aware constantly of your voice, Lord, where I will be able to see and hear the things that you desire to say and see. I pray, Father, that you will put your heart in our hearts, that we will hear and see as you desire. Draw us to you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that the process to getting there, no matter where we are in that process, it doesn't matter where you are in the process. You might only still be at Gilgal. You haven't made it to Bethel yet. Maybe you're past Bethel and Gilgal. Maybe you're in Jericho, where you've come to some challenges in your walk with him. But I want you to know that it's those that make it to the Jordan that will have a true spiritual encounter that will change you forever. And in that pursuit of going further, you see, not many Christians even want to go further because it's unusual. It's not normal. But God is a spirit, and he is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth, who will choose to go further and deeper and desire more. Is that you? Is that the cry of your heart, or isn't it? You see, some people it isn't. And it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell for it. It just means you're not going to have more. What do you desire? What do you desire? What is your desire? Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will just place more of a hunger on us, more of a thirst on us. Like the prophet Elisha, Father, he desired the double portion. So I pray we also will desire more of your spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.